You know it? Oh, great. Cool. בכל ליבי על אלוהי וחיי אקדיש לך אומר דום אתה אלי כבנת אין ליבי וכוחי ומאודי read 1 Corinthians chapter 8 this week. All right, great.
Hello.
Hello. Hello to Kitty.
Is
that Rishonah Corinthians? Rishonah Corinthians. Corinthians. We read the whole chapter. Chapter 8. Echoron Corinthi Shmone. Yeah. Yofi. So let's just take a little glance at the chapter. What's the first thing that we see when we look at this chapter 8?
You asking?
I'm asking. Yeah, and I'm asking for what's the first thing that we see? What's the idea that we get about this chapter? What is this chapter all about?
About love, about being considered speaking. It's
First Corinthians. Echoron. Shmone. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of love in here. Let's read the first couple of verses. Zivit, could you read Be'evrit, verses 1 through 3?
בעניין זכי מילים, אנו יודעים שלכולם הוא דעת. דעת מביאה לידי גאווה, אך האהבה בונה. מי שסבור כי הוא יודע דבר מה, עדיין אינו יודע כפי שצריך לדעת. אבל מי שאוהב את אלוהים, הוא ידוע לאלוהים.
Excellent. Alex, could you read it in English, please?
Yes. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him.
Okay. Now we look further down in verse 10, and we see that the topic is still about idols, which Be'evrit Elilim. Elilim. I missed an L there. Elilim. So, from the beginning, the first phrase, it's about idols. Elilim. It is. Yeah. And it's also talking about idols such as in pagan temples. Because in verse 10, if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? So this is a situation. In the city of Corinth, there were pagan temples there. There was an issue. This was the situation in that city. It's a pagan city. There were Jews living there, but it's mainly a pagan city. There was pagan temples there. People were having feasts in the pagan temples. And so it raises the question here in verse 10. If you, as a believer, are seen in a pagan temple, eating meat there, eating food there, everyone knows that the food has been sacrificed to idols. Aren't they going to be a little bit confused about your faith? That's what verse 10 is bringing up here. Does that make sense? I know the English is a little bit hard to understand on this side. Does it make sense also in Hebrew? Why don't we read verse 10 out loud in Hebrew?
אתה אשר לך הדעת, נסף בבית אלילים, כלום לא יעודד הדבר את בעל המחסון החלש לאכול מזכי אלילים. ממשיך?
לא, זה בסדר. תודה. אוקיי. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on this chapter, Bishmoni. We're going to move into Colossians. But we just want to take a look here and see the overview of the chapter. It's basically about idols and food that's sacrificed to idols,
yeah,
and the issues.
But isn't it say that it's like a warning, because we are the people that know Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I can't say it in English. What is it in English?
Uh-huh, to say there. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. כשאנחנו מכירים את ישוע, כשאנחנו עושים איזשהו מעשה, כל מעשה שהוא, אנחנו עלולים לטעות ולהראות, לשמש דוגמה בדיוק, לשמש דוגמה שהיא לא נכונה לפעמים, לאנשים שהם עדיין חלשים באמונה, אם אנחנו לא נקפיד לגזר על הדברים שאנחנו שמים, או שאנחנו מראים, אדם שהוא חלש באמונה
שלו, או לא מאמין.
או לא מאמין, בדיוק, עלול לראות את הדברים בצורה אחרת ממה שאנחנו מפרשים אותם, ואז אנחנו למעשה מתאים אותו. אז העזרה היא כלפינו, כלפי אלה שמאמינים, שלא להיות עם גאווה יותר מדי, כי אנחנו צריכים להסתכל על אנשים בצורה שווה כדי שזה יהיה מאוד ברור בדברים שאנחנו עושים, כדי שאנחנו לא נבלבל אותם. אוקיי.
I understand. No, I
lost
a lot of it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll say it in English.
You want to translate? Okay.
No, I have something else to say. For instance, right now it's a pagan holiday for the Muslims, mm-hmm. right? So if you go
it's
to
not a pagan holiday.
Yeah, it is.
Not for them, it's not.
Well, for them, but to us it is. It is a pagan holiday. It's they cut sheep's heads or whatever, something for sheep,
homing. They think it's
holiday that's not a Christian. Actually, Christians don't have holidays except for Christmas, but we don't have any holidays. But for them, it is a good holiday, but for us, it's a pagan holiday. So if I go into a restaurant right now to have a big restaurant, what am I doing?
Not much.
I'm feasting with them. Because that's what they do. That's what they do right now. They're feasting 4 days. They're serving Allah. Allah is not a Christian. Although, I don't know what people think about Allah, what Christians think about Allah, but he's not. And he's not sent by God. And they're not going to go to heaven. You know, Muslims. But they think they are.
Well, I think this is a bit of a gray area because it's not exactly the same as the situation in Korah.
It's the same thing because, they are right now serving Allah.
Okay.
Right now for these 4 days, it's exactly the same. And if you go into an Arabic restaurant and you eat there, you're fishing with them. That's exactly that.
Well, then it'd be better for you to not go.
It's a realistic situation.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go into Buddha's temple, And even with them, okay, but if they're not, it's not a holiday.
The scripture is, I think the scripture is clear that we should not eat meat that has been sacrificed.
Well, that's what it is. It's a sacrifice right now.
That's what it says. But what this is addressing in this chapter is that there are some situations where you don't know this particular piece of meat, if it has been sacrificed to an idol or not. What do you do? And so what he's saying is that if someone tells you that that meat has been sacrificed to an idol, don't eat it for the sake of their conscience. Not because you think that an idol is anything, but because they trust in an idol and they're telling you that maybe they're proud of it. Hey, this meat was sacrificed to such and such Allah or whatever, some kind of false god or whatever. So then for that sake, for the sake of that person, for the sake of my testimony, I will not eat that meat because I don't want to let them think that I am respecting and showing respect towards their idol. It's very important. You're absolutely right to do that. So we've established
same
that...
Same thing with Ramadan also. Ramadan is also
right.
A holiday for the pagan.
Right. So let's look now at verse 8. Because
eight?
Verse 8. Yeah. Because this verse, you might have heard it many times before. We're actually not going into a study about idols tonight. We're talking about biblical diet tonight. In verse 8, Alex, could you read it in English? And then, Roni, let's hear it in Hebrew after that.
The food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worse.
All right, and then let's read verse 13, because that kind of sums it all up. In English?
Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble.
Okay. So, verse 8, we see it in the context here. It's basically saying that if we eat or if we don't eat, in the eyes of our Father, it doesn't make all that much of a difference. In the context of meat and idols, because to God, idol is nothing. Therefore, to us, an idol is nothing. The thing that what we're doing and why I'm pointing this out, because this verse 8 is many times pulled out of context and made to seem as if you can eat anything at all in the world that you want. It doesn't matter. But that's not what the verse is saying. It's saying in the context that food sacrificed to idols, this is the issue and this is how we are dealing with it. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. We don't sacrifice. So, because we are not sacrificed, there are some other things, some other obstacles that are in our way, that we should be aware of them, and not put an obstacle in front of our brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, what I think is that if we know, it doesn't have to be a food, it should be any obstacle that is on our way, that comes from our way. If he is going to be a problem to my brother, mm-hmm. my belief, then I should remove it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to, that my brother will be saved. And that's what I think from that.
Well, that's also, it's also here in verse 13, favoring our brother, you know, and being careful to not make him stumble, you know. But again, this is still all in the context of food sacrificed to idols. We don't want to cause each other to stumble over that. Good. So can we move on? I'd like to take a look at Acharon Kolosim, Echad Vishtaim, Colossians. But I'm working on my Hebrew, and I like to practice.
Oh.
And sometimes...
I'm working on remembering.
Yeah, Ms. Parchad Vishtaim. We're looking at chapters 1 and 2. First of all, we're not going to read through the whole thing, but I did ask if people could read the whole chapters, 1 and 2, just to get a background. And when we finish tonight, I'm going to ask again for some chapters that everybody can read during the week, maybe on Shabbat or sometime during the week, to be prepared so we can have be ready for the next study. Okay. First, let's read out loud Colossians 1:18. Yeah, please.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
All right. And Zavit, can you read 18? Do you read?
הוא הראש של הגוף, כלומר של הקהילה. הוא הראשית זכור מבין המתים, ומה נהיה ראשון בכל.
אמן. So in this verse, מה זה הגוף? What is the body?
The community.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Kehila, the church, the congregation. And by the way, this right here is a congregation because we have gathered. We have congregated. We have gathered in the name of Yeshua. So even in this small room, small group of people, we are a representation. We are a piece of the body of Mashiach. Okay. And who is the head of the body?
Jesus.
Amen. Yeshua HaMashiach. So he's the head of the body, and the body is the Kehila. Isn't that what it says here? All right. Yofi. Moving on. Pasuk, it's 24, verse 24. Roni, אפשר לקרוא את זה בעברית?
כעת אני שמח בסבל שאני סובל למעלכם, ואני ממלא את הצרי את סגלות המשיח שיש עוד סבול בעד סבור הקהילה.
אמן. Okay, and now in English.
I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church.
Okay. So, same thing again. אותו דבר. Mare Hagufa Mashiach. What is the body of Messiah? Right. The church, the Keila. So, we're seeing here that the body of Messiah is the congregation. And this is the wording that is being used in this letter, in this epistle to the Colossians. Okay? So now we go forward to verse Stein Pasuk Sheshitzre Veshavasre. We're going to look at chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17. I'll read it in English. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are shadow of things to come, but the body of Messiah. All right. And Roni Bivrit. Amen. So we see again the same words, the body and Mashiach, the Kehila. I want to point out something in the English. There's a word in the English that's not supposed to be there, and that's at the end of verse 17. A small word with two letters, is, where it says, in some translations, the body is of Christ. That word is not supposed to be there. It's not in the Greek, and it's also not in the Aramaic. What it really is supposed to say, but the body of Messiah. And that's what it says in the Hebrew, right? Aval. There's an is there? Is that the who?
Shev.
Okay. Well, it's not in the original Greek, and it's not in the original Aramaic either.
Yeah.
Aval.
Without logic, actually.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not logic.
Yeah.
It's
the body of the Messiah is logic.
Yeah. So when you take the is out, or the shell, then the whole sentence, which is 16 and 17, actually finally makes sense. Because what it's saying is...
So read it again, 16 and 17?
All right. In the English?
Without the is.
Okay, without the is. So let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Messiah. So, in other words, let no one judge you except the body of Messiah. Let no one judge you about this and that because of God, except for the body of Messiah. And we already saw in the other verses that the body of Messiah is the Kehillah. That's already been established in this book and in many other places in the Brit Hadashah. And if you see it there in the Aramaic English Bible, it's clear as well.
I didn't catch. Only the body of the Messiah can judge us?
Yeah. That's what I mean.
But the word says that we cannot be judged because of Shabbat and everything. So how the body of the Messiah can judge us about the world?
Well, let's take a look at what the text says. The Yitzchok, right? Yitzchok. No, the Lachen. Lachen ish al Yachrot. That's the word I was looking for. You see, this is what it says. Don't let anyone judge you in these things except for the body of Messiah. Now, judging here does not mean passing sentence, enforcing punishment on somebody. I believe what it means is judging in a way to make an assessment. You know the phrase we have in English, to make a judgment call?
Right. I think it means more discernment.
Discernment, yeah, that's very good. Mm-hmm. To discern. And there are scriptures that say that we are to judge ourselves. Remember the scripture that says that we should judge ourselves lest we be judged by God. But we are called to judge ourselves. And so I think this goes along with that. Judging ourselves, not putting ourselves in hell. We don't have the power to put ourselves in hell. Only He has that power. But to discern within ourselves, are we walking right? Are we living correctly? Are we living according to the word? These things we can discern. And the Kehillah, Haguf HaMashiach, the body of Messiah, is we are part of the body and we are together, working together to judge ourselves, to help each other to walk straight. All right? So, this verse, these verses, Sheshesre Vishvasre, it can make sense if we take the first phrase and the last phrase. You know, it's a common way to make sense out of long sentences. Basically, let no one judge you in these things except for the body of Messiah. So, what are these things? Yeah. It's clear in the Aramaic and also in the Greek, actually. Because, yeah, that little "is" was put in there at the English level. And if you look in the King James English, they at least had the decency when they added words in that were not actually there in the Greek, they put it in italics. They put it in slanted letters. The letters were kind of tipped over like that.
Like they were shaking.
Yeah. Regularly, normally the letters are straight, but when they type it with a italic font, so the letters are tilted sideways,
so you know it's not supposed to be that.
You know that it's not in the original language when they did that. And when you look at this passage in the King James, you can see that is in italics like that. Why did they put it there? Probably to continue the pagan tradition of eating, you know, all kinds of stuff. And using this scripture to say, you know, no one's going to judge me if I'm eating pork or shrimp, for example. And I've got scripture to back it up, and no one can judge me. And then changing that, putting that is on the end of the sentence there makes it look as if it's a completely different idea. But it's part of the same sentence. It's part of the same thing. And without the is, the whole sentence makes sense.
It's hard for me to say it this way.
Okay.
Because when I'm reading it in Hebrew, for me it's obviously that if the community is my body, it's the body of the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
and they are the only ones that can judge me, then it doesn't mean that I should do whatever I like and eat whatever I want. And
mm-hmm. You're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
So, even when I'm really with the font that was not supposed to be there, whatever.
With the shell?
Yeah,
or
the shell or the E or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it. I didn't okay. see it before.
Good.
Where you described it now, you know what I mean? It was obvious that...
Well, maybe the understanding that I'm addressing is more from the English-speaking community. Maybe. I'm not really sure. I haven't figured out everybody's,
but for me,
you know.
It says in here that because the body is the Messiah, belongs to the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed to do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
I have someone that I think I was born for. I don't know how to do it.
Thank you. Funny, if you need to go home.
Yeah, I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, because you're working for
me. You're fine.
I need to go home.
Can well, we're gonna go another 10 minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We're not. That's it. Difficult. Okay. All right. Let's just finish this passage. I think you're totally right, Zivit. And I think it to me, with my limited Hebrew, it sounds more clear in Hebrew as well. Well, the thing that really cleared it up for me was seeing that that word is not in the Greek or the Aramaic.
There's a commentary, if you wanted to read it.
Okay, sure.
You can read it, but I haven't. It's a little too small.
Oh, okay.
Unless you want to read it.
I don't
know. But here it's using the word pagan, let no pagan judge you.
Okay.
In the Aramaic, it's saying, the translation says it's referring to.
Okay.
See, let no pagan, and then this pagan is described down here, and describes the body of Messiah and who they are. And,
okay.
You know, so that may be a little bit clearer. So if she could read the translation from that and then down here.
Okay, since you make no pagan, but then it describes what they mean by pagan, that the body of the law. Therefore, judge you about food and drink or about the distinctions of festivals and human and Sabbath, which were shadows of the things
yet future,
but the body of Mashiach. The body of Mashiach must not be concerned with judgment of those who are outside the kingdom of God, that is, those who don't know the Torah of Mashiach. It is clear, even the location of the audience and the fact that that Paul always refers to Jews directly, that Paul is addressing the local talk of the pagans whose religion dominated this region.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because this is, again, like Corinth, it's a pagan city, Colossia. And so these are people who used to be pagans. They've come out from the paganism into Yeshua.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to help them. He's already been there teaching them about Yeshua, teaching them about how to walk in the way. And now he's reminding them, don't let your pagan family members, your neighbors, these people that you're still living with, don't let them judge you on these holy things. How to eat, how to drink, what things to eat, what things to drink, the feasts, you know, the holy days, the chagim, the Rosh Chodesh, the new moons, which is a part of the commanded feasts. in the Bible, and the Shabbat. Don't let them manipulate you or influence you. They're pagans. They have nothing to say about your walk. You have a new walk in Yeshua now. But the body of Mashiach, the body of Messiah, we are working together and we're talking together and helping one another to walk in the way. You know? And we can take we won't take time to go and look there, but there are other places where this same phrase is put in. Festivals, new moons, Shabbat.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what says here in verse 16,
Lachen
ish al yachot alach ha-mishpat. Al bar nachal, mashkeh, but if somebody that tried to keep the Torah, that said it, and he's not a believer in Yeshua, said, why you not keep Shabbat?
What's the question, Earl?
The question is right. But the guy, why not? He can judge you about that.
But the context in this letter is from pagans, yeah. Because we see down here in verse 22 that this is about the commandments and doctrines of men. So this is the issue that they're dealing with.
Well, and you know what? Let's go further. Let's say that this is taken. Mm-hmm. And we see that your faith is, you know, to keep Shabbat. And you don't keep Shabbat. Mm-hmm. Why cannot judge you? Why can't you say, this is your faith. Why are you not doing this?
He might say...
contradiction to what he said actually at the beginning of the evening about giving examples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we have to give good examples so people can...
Okay, now you have to tell them that you believe in Jesus.
If we are doing something that is not a good example...
I think you're right.
If we believe in Yeshua, what is that?
I think you're right. We can allow anybody to bring us, you know, to give us a wake-up call. You know, how come you're not keeping Shabbat? Aren't you supposed to believe in that? How come...
judging.
Well... somebody might say, you're not keeping Shabbat, but you are keeping Shabbat. Somebody might say, you're not a good follower of Yeshua, but you are a good follower of Yeshua. They don't know because they don't know Yeshua. So what it's saying is, don't let unbelievers have the final say on how you walk. Put a higher value on what the Kehillah says. What does the congregation say? Because the congregation, the body, these are the people who belong to Yeshua. These are the people who have the Ruach HaKodesh living inside of us to help us to judge properly and to judge accurately. Because also, a non-believer, they might find something to criticize no matter how we do it. just to try to tear us down. And they can do that, okay, but we don't have to take it seriously. I think that's what this is saying here. But the body of Messiah, we have the Spirit living inside of us. Brenda?
I'm getting a sense of also influence here.
Mm-hmm.
Not allowing the pagan, the unbeliever to influence you,
yeah,
your conviction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because that can cause, you know, especially if they're loved ones,
yeah,
and that those strings of guilt and, you know, their sense of abandonment, that you abandoned the faith, you know, to go follow Yeshua, so that that influence, allow no pagan to judge you or to influence you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm hearing.
Well, let's read verses 20 through 23, and then we can wrap up. Because I think that this goes right along with what you're saying. Therefore, if you died with Messiah from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men? These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Now this is all about commandments and doctrines of men.
It's okay, so I can tell you something about it. I mean, we're talking here about the community.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot hear you anymore. This is for the Bible.
Okay,
thank you. And for myself.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm not so well.
Bless you, sister.
Yeah, it's okay. When I drive, I contemplate, but I have a problem in my body. I have to go.
Okay. Are you guys riding with her, or what's going on? Okay. All right. So you can stay. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
All
right. Okay. Great. Yeah. Hard
work.
Yeah. Let you.
I go down. You go before the bird out, and then you turn right. Okay. And then that will take us. They take the other bush on. Past the hunting park, orange. Okay. So I go down, and then I take
the first right, and then the next right also, and that's bringing you down the hill.
The first right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then a first bite again.
Okay.
Bye, Laila Tov.
Okay, what I was trying to say is that, can I speak in the book?
Mm-hmm. Baksha.
כשאנחנו אומרים שהקהילה היא זאת שיש לה את הסמכות לשפוט אותנו, אוקיי? לעובדי אלילים או לאנשים שבאים מבחוץ לקהילה, אין להם את הזכות לשפוט אותנו על מעשים שאנחנו עושים על פי התורה, על פי מה שנאמר לנו לעשות. אני מזכורה, צודקת עד עכשיו.
אין להם,
they don't have to tell me. It's like the outside, the non-believers don't have.
נכון, נכון.
They don't have that for me, but also in the קהילה itself. If the קהילה behaves like the non-believers, okay, they don't have the judgment. They cannot
right.
judge me.
Right.
And that means that when I'm reading, when he says, "Lachem ish alechot mishpat, lachem mishpat," זה מתייחס גם למצב שבו הקהילה עצמה היא כאילו מתהלכת, היא מאמינה שהיא מתהלכת לפי אלוהים, אבל בפועל היא יכולה לא לעשות את זה. היא יכולה להתהלך שלא לפי אלוהים. ואז האדם צריך לשמור על עצמו גם מהצד הזה, גם כאשר יש איזשהו רוח של דת שקיימת בתוך הקהילה עצמה, שעולה להפריד את המאמין ואת הדרך הנכונה שלו מהאלוהים. הוא חייב להתהלך כל הזמן בקו ישר עם האלוהים.
אמן.
זה צריך להיות הקו שמנחה אותו, ולא אנשים, לא בני אדם. בני אדם, כמו שאנחנו אומרים, הם כותבים, הם עושים דברים שנכתבו על ידי בני אדם, ולא על ידי אלוהים.
אבל איך את הולכת עם אלוהים בלי דבר אלוהים שנמצא
לך? נכון, אני חייבת איזשהו קו, זה מה שאני אומרת, אני חייבת איזשהו קו שהתחלתי לאלוהים.
ואיך את יודעת מה קו הזה?
התחלנו, אבל צריך לזה, בלי שום קשר, אתה צריך
שם מאמין. אני חושב ש...
דווקא מאמין, אתה חייב להיות מספיק ער לעובדה שלא כל אחד, גם בתוך האמונה, לא כל אחד הוא אכן...
אני חושב ש80% מגוף המשיח טועה בדרך.
אוקיי, can we back up a little bit and just cover this in English a little bit so that we can let's just explain it in English so that everybody can understand. What's the basic
point is